Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. So have you wondered, if you are getting to this point in your life, have you wondered, when do you take Social Security? Do you really understand it? Well, I have brought in, and this is really cool. I'm a little giddy, to be honest with you. Mary Beth Franklin, who has been a standout contributor to the financial services industry for a long time. She is a public speaker. She's a contributing editor to the Investment News, which is one of the big publications in the financial industry that a lot of advisors like me look to. She has, let me go back. I have a whole list of things that she's done. I'm so excited. She's president of RetirePro. She's available for public speaking and is just a huge contributor to our industry. So before we get into the details, Mary Beth, thank you and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for the invitation, David. I always love coming on to talk about Social Security.
All right. Well, excellent. And I have got a stack of articles that Mary Beth has written on this subject and many others. And for people, they want to look at investmentnews.com as the website. The big thing that is on people's minds, of course, with all the talk, Mary Beth, about Social Security and what will be its fate and what will happen, and one of the most basic questions people have sometimes is, when do I take it? Do I take it at 62? Do I take it at my quote-unquote normal retirement age of 66 for a lot of people who are contemplating that decision now? Or do I push it off to 70 because I hear I can maybe make 8% a year by doing that? So where do they start? What do they do? What do you think?
Well, it's a very individual decision. But the fact is, most Americans are living a lot longer. And the longer you're likely to live, the smarter the decision is to wait until at least your full retirement age, which for most people right now is 66, to collect Social Security benefits. And if you are very healthy and you've got some other assets to draw on and you think you're going to live a long time, deferring up until age 70 can be an incredibly smart decision. But let me go over some basics.
Sure.
I like to call 66 the magic age. Now, that's the full retirement age for anyone who's born from 1943 through 1954. And I call it the magic age because if you wait until 66, you get 100% of the benefits that you're entitled to at that age. But more importantly, you can collect benefits and keep working, if you like, without losing any of those benefits. If you collect before 66, you get a permanently reduced benefit for the rest of your life. And if you keep working, as so many baby boomers say they plan to do, you start losing benefits. Right now, for 2014, the earnings cap is $15,480 a year. If you earn more than that, you are going to start giving back Social Security benefits. For every $2 you earn over that limit, you give back a dollar in benefits.
So you're not talking about just, because a lot of times people get tripped up on that, Mary Beth, because, you know, depending on how much income you have in total, and there's a formula for this, there's a tax on Social Security, whether you're 62, 65, 66, 70. You're not talking about that right now. You're talking about an actual reduction in your Social Security benefits if you are not 66 and you have enough wage income that you will lose, just flat out lose some of your Social Security benefit.
Exactly. Mm. I'm not talking about taxing the Social Security benefits. I'm actually talking about a reduction in benefits. Now, there's a caveat. Those benefits are not gone forever. They're deferred. If you give benefits back because you collected early and because you continued to work, once you get to your full retirement age, Social Security is going to recalculate. They're going to say, you collected benefits at 62, which is normally a 25% reduction for the rest of your life. But over those last 4 years, you gave back the equivalent of 24 months of 2 years of benefits. So now that you're full retirement age, we're going to pretend as if you collected at 64 instead of 62 and pay you at that rate going forward. But the real reason I say 66 is the magic age is because if you wait till then, you get to engage in some creative claiming strategies that can make an enormous difference in your lifetime income. For a married couple, it could mean the difference of $100,000 or more. But if you claim before your full retirement age, you can't do any of these things.
I got you. Well, you know what? I'm so glad you gave that example because I just did this with a client. So we're going to have to talk about that. Let's grab a quick break. We'll be right back with Mary Beth Franklin. Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
If you're just joining us, Mary Beth Franklin's on the line with me. She is a public speaker and a contributing editor to Investment News. She has received her Bachelor of Arts in Communication from American University, and she completed her Certified Financial Planner Certificate Program at University of Virginia in April of 2003 and passed the CFP Certification Exam in November of 2013. Good for doing that. That is the toughie, isn't it?
Oh, hardest thing I ever did, I think.
Yeah, it's not easy. I am very glad I did mine back in 98. So so we're talking about Social Security if you're just joining us. And if we talked before the break about, you know, the differences and the advantage and that magic age of taking Social Security at full retirement, which for a lot of people right now contemplating that is 66. And one of the things you allude to, Mary Beth, is the opportunity to get creative. And there's all these different strategies that are out there and where you can do this and do that, different things. And I love that you gave the example it could be as much as $100,000 because I actually just did this with one of my existing clients and we weighed the choices and I'd love for you to get into some of how this works, but it was $100,000 difference between, you know, option one and option two.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And a lot of people get hung up on the fact, they say, oh, the government's in such bad shape, there's all these budget problems, I should grab it while I can. Well, first of all, that's short-sighted.
Yes, it is.
Secondly, Social Security is financed through payroll taxes. It is not part of the general revenues. So there are earmarked revenues to fund Social Security. So you're only short-cutting yourself if you grab it early.
I couldn't agree more. And again, with that said, it's a very individualized decision. But so there's a lot of misunderstanding and confusion out there, Mary Beth, and I know you see this all the time about some of these techniques and strategies, and quite candidly, I think a lot of financial people don't really fully understand them as well. So are there a couple of basic techniques that people can look to if they are past normal retirement age where they can take a look at some strategies that will help them max out for a couple, especially what their Social Security can be over their lifetime?
Okay, let's start with the married couple.
Okay.
There are basically two strategies, but they can be used in different ways depending on your client profile. So one is called file and suspend. What that means is if you wait until your full retirement age, you say to Social Security, I want to file and suspend. That means I am filing for my benefits for the purpose of triggering benefits for my spouse.
Okay.
Or in some cases, I may have a minor child that's also entitled to benefits. But I don't want my own yet. I want my own to keep growing and earning delayed retirement credits, which are worth 8% per year for every year you postpone benefits beyond your full retirement age, which right now is 66, up until age 70. So that means if you file and suspend, your wife or your husband may be able to get benefits on your records while yours continues to grow, an increase of 32% if you wait till age 70. That is huge.
That is huge. Now, so for sake of a simple example, if husband's 66 and wife is 64, then he does the file and suspend strategy you just mentioned, and so that she can draw it, can she start drawing it at 64? She can draw it at 66. Do they both need to be over 66 to make that work? How does that part of it play out?
Only the person who is filing and suspending needs to be at least 66.
Okay.
The spouse in this case could be as young as 62.
Okay.
She's younger than that, she can't get it. But if she collects for her full retirement age, there's a reduction.
Understand.
Now, normally, a spousal benefit is worth up to 50% of what, let's say, the husband, in this case, the worker, is entitled to at his full retirement age. So let's say he's entitled to $2,000 a month at his full retirement age. He files and suspends to trigger her benefits. If she is also full retirement age, she would get half of that. She would get $1,000 a month. But if she's younger than full retirement age, say she's 62, instead of getting a 50% benefit, she would get a benefit worth 35%.
Okay. So there's that reduction to factor
in. Right. So let's say, I'm doing numbers quickly, but instead of $1,000, she would probably get about $700.
Okay. All right. So that's one of the most basic techniques for a married couple who are going to, one's going to file the file and suspend, and then the other's going to draw their benefit off of that person, even though they're not taking it. They're using their earnings record and their Social Security benefit to derive their own benefit.
And this works well where you have what I would call an Ozzie and Harriet sort of situation, where you have one primary wage earner, assuming the husband, it doesn't have to be.
Of course.
And perhaps the wife has been a stay-at-home mom. She doesn't have sufficient work credits on her own record. You have to work at least 10 years or what they consider 40 quarters to be eligible for Social Security benefits. A lot of women don't have those minimum eligibility requirements. But just by the fact of being married, even if they never worked, they are entitled to a spousal benefit worth up to half of the worker's amount.
Makes sense.
That's one strategy.
Okay.
That's for Ozzie and Harriet. The husband is a bigger earner. He files and suspends, triggers benefits so his wife can collect now, and he'll collect a bigger benefit later. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about collect some now, collect more later.
Hmm.
Now let's assume we've got a dual income couple. They both work. Maybe there's still a disparity in their income. And let's say the wife has been a school teacher, and she decides at 62 to retire. And the husband knows that if he waits till age 70, he's going to get a much bigger benefit. But now that he is full retirement age, he can exercise a different strategy. He can say to Social Security, I want to file a restricted claim for spousal benefits only. So in this case, the wife has already claimed her benefit. He is at full retirement age. He's now saying, I want half of her benefit. Now, that's in addition to what she's receiving, not actually taking away from her benefit.
Right.
And I want my own benefit to keep growing up until age 70. Now, the one caveat I want to say is I use the example of a school teacher. In about 35 states, public school teachers pay into Social Security, and this example works.
Right.
If you are in a state where you're a public school teacher that does not pay into Social Security, or you're a fireman or a policeman, or you work for state and local government, where you do not pay into Social Security, you must pay to play. If you don't pay into the system, you're not going to get benefits.
Well, the same goes for a lot of those small business owners out there, Mary Beth, that maybe haven't drawn, quote-unquote, that Social Security wage and paid the taxes they went along. You got to have the benefits or the accrued work years with actual Social Security tax having been paid to be able to play the game.
And I would love this message to go out to all the accountants out there that are working with small businessmen, that I know there are fancy ways you can get income out of the business. But to protect your clients in the long run, make sure they are paying sufficient salary or wages to themselves where they pay a FICA tax, a payroll tax, in order to give them Social Security benefits going forward.
Amen
it may
to that.
Be very short-sighted to try to keep those taxes low during their working years, because it's going to severely reduce what can be one of the most valuable retirement income programs around for anybody.
Amen to that. Mary Beth Franklin's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we are back with Mary Beth Franklin. She is a public speaker and contributing editor to Investment News. And contributing to the entire financial industry. She's done an excellent job of that over the years. Lisa, who runs my board here, Mary Beth, said, clarify this for us. And I think it's a good point. We talked about normal retirement age for those that are in that 1943 to 1954 being 66. After you get past that, that normal retirement age continues to go up. For me, it's 67. For other people, you know, it may be different, but so the normal retirement age is higher for some people than 66. So we wanted to clarify that.
That's correct. Anyone who is born after 1954, their full retirement age is higher. For example, 55 would be 66 in 2 months. Mm-hmm. It goes up by 2 months per birth year until you get to 1960. And at that point, everyone born in 1960 or later, their full retirement age under current law is 67.
There we are. That's where I'm at. So, and I want to tell you that, you know, the strategies we talked about, these are all, you know, these are general and people need to look at this individually because, as I said before, I had somebody that we did the math on and I have the software, Mary Beth, that lets me do this and I can calculate and optimize, you know, when to take Social Security. And the file and suspend strategy you described for a husband and wife, they had similar income levels. But one was a little more than the other, and it ended up being that by doing one of these strategies, it produced a $100,000 difference. And one of the key assumptions that is essential to this, of course, this whole figuring out what's the best strategy, is you do have to make an assumption about life expectancy.
That's right. I always tell my audiences, you must be present to win. So if you're healthy, if longevity runs in your family, if you have reason to believe you're going to live a long time, it's a gamble, but it could be an educated guess.
Well, and yeah, because when I changed the fact pattern and I changed the longevity and expectations, it changed which strategy was better.
Right, certainly. And I also believe that it's not necessary for both spouses to delay. In many cases, it makes sense for the lower-earning spouse, who's often the wife, but not necessarily so, to collect benefits at full retirement age or even earlier as a way to bring benefits into the household and for the higher earner to wait as long as possible up until age 70, because not only does that create the largest retirement benefit for that worker, it also creates a larger base for future cost of living adjustments.
Good point.
And probably what's most important for most married couples to consider is that larger retirement benefit translates into a larger survivor benefit for whomever is left behind.
You're right on the money. That's very good. That's very good. And I was doing the math in my head, you know, getting 8% compounding or 32% for that extra four-year wait on a larger number is obviously going to benefit the wage earner when they draw that benefit and then the survivorship provision. Because a lot of people aren't aware of this, Mary Beth, but that step up to, for the survivor stepping up to the larger benefit if it's greater than theirs, I've seen that firsthand make a huge difference for that survivor.
Oh, it's huge, and people don't realize it. I mentioned earlier in the program that a spousal benefit, while your mate is still alive, is worth up to 50% of the worker's benefit. A survivor benefit, on the other hand, is 100% of what the deceased worker was either receiving or was entitled to receive at time of death. And why it's so important for that higher earner to delay up until age 70, if possible, for that extra 32% bump. Now, a spouse won't get it while she's alive. Her 50% benefit is based on his full retirement age. It doesn't get any bigger.
Right.
But if he dies and he has waited till 70 and he's got this huge benefit that's worth 132% of his full retirement age benefit, That is the survivor benefit that she inherits.
So she could be getting, if again, assuming the man and the woman, the scenario, she could be getting 50% of his normal retirement age, and then if he has delayed to 70 and to take his, then there is a, she would step up to that value, not just doubling, it would be more than doubling because it's going up to the 132% of
right.
The,
let me put some numbers to that.
Sure.
Again, let's assume the man at 66 is entitled to $2,000 a month. He files and suspends,
right,
meaning he takes nothing. And it triggers a spousal benefit for his wife, and if she's also 66, that's $1,000 a month.
Perfect.
And let's say he gets to 70, he switches to his retirement benefit, which at this point is now worth $2,640 a month, and he later dies, her smaller benefit goes away, and she gets that $2,640 a month as a survivor benefit. And frankly, these numbers are actually larger because each year there's a cost of living adjustment,
right,
and that would be applied to these bigger numbers.
Well, in that example, she goes from $1,000 to $2,600 some odd dollars.
And, right. That's huge.
That's a huge number. Well, he better be making his own breakfast, I tell you that.
Now, let me give you one more strategy. We talked about,
sure,
Ozzie and Harriet, where you basically have one breadwinning spouse. And then we talked about a couple where they both have income, but maybe the wife is retired early and the husband has restricted his claim to spousal benefits to get half of hers while his continues to grow. Now we have a third profile that I like to call the power couple. We're assuming that both of them have substantial earnings throughout their lifetime and that they're close in age. Now here's an example where you can use a combination strategy. And again, I'm going to assume that both the husband and wife is entitled to $2,000 per month at their full retirement age of 66 and that they're the same age. In this case, in this combo strategy, the husband's going to file and suspend, so he gets nothing, and trigger benefits for his wife. But the wife, who is also full retirement age, says, no, now that I'm full retirement age, I want to file a restricted claim for spousal benefits only.
Hmm.
Don't give me my benefits, give me only the spousal benefits. So in this scenario, he gets nothing, she gets $1,000 a month, each month for the next 4 years, and then at 70, they each switch to their maximum benefit, which is now each worth $2,640 a month. You multiply that by two, since there's two of them, you multiply that by 12 months, and this couple has now secured over $72,000 of guaranteed cost of living adjusted income for the rest of their lives. That's real money.
That is very much real money. And in the interim, she took, the wife in this example, took the restricted, she filed the restricted claim for spousal benefits because he had done a file and suspend. So basically,
exactly,
she's getting $1,000. So she's bringing $1,000 in for, as you said, bringing $1,000 benefit into the household from 66 to 70. And then it goes from $1,000 to, what is that, $5,300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's huge.
What a cool strategy.
And the reason you're hearing more about this is threefold, I think. Prior to the market collapse in 2008 and the Great Recession, frankly, for a lot of people, Social Security was greens fees. They really didn't think a whole lot about it. They grabbed it at 62 as soon as they could. Then you had the market collapse. Some people lost a third of their savings. Interest rates are at record lows. And at the same time, this delayed retirement credit that we've talked about has increased to 8% a year. It wasn't always so. You know, two decades ago, it was 3% a year. It was really not a big deal. But now you have this enormous bump up of 8% a year in an environment of record low interest rates where you can't get a risk-free return of 8% anyplace. And
nope,
frankly, you have to take a lot of risk to get an 8% return in the stock market. So this is why people are so interested in this now. It's a smoking hot deal, and they can't replicate it anyplace else.
Well, we cannot replicate getting you on the line here, Mary Beth. This is fantastic. Mary Beth Franklin's been our guest. She's a public speaker, contributing editor in Investment News. You can go to investmentnews.com to learn more about that. And Mary Beth, it's just been a delight. It's fantastic and bringing awareness to this for our listeners. So thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, David.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.